you ready for the sound experience of a lifetime? Are you ready for crystal clarity in sonic bliss? Are you ready for CKUT? We're ready for you.
CKUT. On the air. Live for CKUT. CKUT.
Good evening. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio. From drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between. I'm your host, Sarah DeA, recording from home on April 1st, 2021. On tonight's show, a look into a radio drama series coming to you live from the Mai and Imigo Theater. Writer Amy Lee Lavoie.
It's been so strange writing theater in a time where theater cannot be presented in its natural state and form. And I think Imigo is really, really smart to be commissioning and developing and just working with the times in the radio front.
Director Emma Tibaldo.
Just looking at the room is so fantastic because they've set up all these little booths, these plexiglass booths. So each actor has their own booth and they can't cross-contaminate in any way. And everyone has their own mic, everyone has their own stool, everyone has their own chair, everyone has their own music stand, and they're surrounded with plexiglass.
And Martin Fauché, artistic director of the Festival Transamérique, programming his final edition at the helm, despite all the uncertainty.
And I told myself, okay, I have to do something new, something unexpected, and I have to make something artistic. So now I'm in a good mood. I'm sometimes optimistic, sometimes pessimistic, but we'll present events in May and June. So that's fine.
Before we begin, some updates. First off, CKUT's 2021 funding drive wrapped up this Sunday, and we didn't just make the fundraising goal, we demolished it, raising a whopping $30,147, and that's over an initial goal of $25,000. Thank you to our drive coordinator, Kai, our staff, our volunteers, and of course, everyone who contributed, and that includes you, Mom, listening at home. Thank you so much. There is still time to donate and solicit donations. Visit funding.ckut.ca to lend a show of support to this community campus radio station. Theaters and venues have had permission for a week now to reopen. Some are presenting shows, others are in the midst of developing work. Mob reopened at the Centaur with 36 people in the audience at every show and sold out for every performance. The Fringe Festival revealed that they are at work to present a new edition for June 1st to the 20th, details still to come. But a recent spike in cases in the province have sent three areas into lockdown as of today: Gatineau, Quebec City, and Lévis across the St. Lawrence. And four regions are being moved from orange to red alert, the same level this city is currently under. Now, I hear you saying, Sarah, this is not in Montreal. Correct. But Quebec City was allowed to reopen its venues weeks before Montreal got the okay. But because case counts rose precipitously in just a matter of days, the entire city is hitting the pause button for at least 10 days. No school, no non-essential stores to open, and an earlier curfew. So it bodes a warning for the arts milieu in the city. If public health is at risk, the government will move to keep people at home. That makes planning live theater that much harder. You will hear a glimpse of that from Martin Fauché later in the hour. He is programming the FTA for May and June. But in the meantime, there's so much to look forward to, both in person and to take in from the comfort of your own home. Let's get to it. Imago Theatre has commissioned three new Canadian plays by female playwrights. Each one is just 20 minutes in length and will be broadcast live from the Maille Theatre on Jean Mals in the Plateau this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 7:30 in the evening. This is happening through imagotheatre.ca. The series is appropriately titled Tuning In. Kathleen Flaherty worked for many years in the audio drama department at the CBC, and she serves up her expertise as dramaturg for the overall program, and there's a sound engineer and a Foley artist there to ensure that this will be a delight for your ears. Headphones are recommended. Each writer was assigned a theme. Yvette Nolan writes about denial for Lâche pas la patate. Audrey Dwyer was handed the subject of fear for The Ringtone. We will hear more about that piece in our next interview. But for the third, Amy Lee Lavoie received the topic care. And as you will hear, she spun a very personal and recent experience into a story. Amy grew up in a small town, came to study in Montreal at the National Theatre School, then headed to Toronto before settling in Vancouver with her husband, former Montrealer, Omari Newton, who, of course, is a writer and actor in his own right. Amy and Omari recently went through a nightmare scenario for owners of a beloved pet, a medical mystery, looming vet bills, and a lot of heartache. Amy Lee Lavoie spoke with me yesterday about her piece for Tuning In, Scouts Honor. Welcome, Amy, to Upstage. Thank you for taking the time. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
So you are in lovely BC in Vancouver. This production is happening in Montreal. How did you get roped into working on an Imago Maille production?
I don't know exactly why they asked me, but I like to think that it's because I'm amazing. But no, I was contacted by Imago to embark on this journey with them for this radio project. It was a commission, and I eagerly accepted. I love all that Imago does, and Micheline and Christina Coleander, who works there. So it was a really great opportunity to flex my radio muscles, which is something I hadn't really done since I was studying at the National Theatre School. So I was really excited to take part.
Tell me about that. So yeah, you were in Montreal for a couple of years studying at NTS. Did you study writing for radio or writing for the ear?
Well, this is funny. So we had a writing for radio class, and it was a workshop that was run by Kathleen Flaherty, who actually is a part of this. So yeah, we reconnected on this project. She was dramaturging the pieces and helping us along. So it was really fun to reconnect with her years later. We had a lot of jokes about my past radio work. And so it was a nice sort of homecoming in a way, to work back in Montreal, even though I wasn't physically there. The artists there and sensibilities that come from Montreal, I sorely miss. So it was fun to work with that team.
When you said revisiting your past with In Her Chorus, so I'm guessing this is like going over your notes, your projects with a former prof. That could be quite cringe inducing, I think, for a lot of people.
Yes. Yes. Well, I definitely, radio was not my strength when I was in school. And I think that was because I, you know, my artistic sensibilities were a bit different then. I was writing a lot more, I guess, metaphorically. I had a real kind of lyrical slant to my language and big vivid worlds. And radio is just a different beast. And I don't think I was as ready to sort of settle into that medium as I was recently. So it was very, very funny. But I had a ton of fun doing it. I just think my characters weren't as radio friendly as they could have been when I was at school. But it was, they were great lessons that Kathleen taught. And it was just really fun to kind of take those lessons years later and apply them to this project.
I'm sure anybody who's still in the field that they initially studied in would love to have a second crack at a creative assignment, right? With the skills, what you know now, and to go back and to redo something and be, you know, get submit something that much stronger. So this is almost like an interesting revisiting for you. I love this idea because they picked three words, denial, fear, and care. You were assigned care as a subject. Was that presented to you as like an assignment? Did you get to choose it? Did they give you much direction when they gave you that word?
No, this is, so we were assigned the themes, and Michelin told me that my theme was care off the top. So there wasn't, she asked if we wanted to have a conversation about it, but it was really just kind of here it is and away you go, which I liked. I kind of like being assigned stuff. It takes the pressure off almost, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then it would later turn out to be a really appropriate theme in a kind of sad way that I had I was not conscious of or could anticipate, which happened. And it, which is the sort of inspiration behind the whole Scouts Honor piece.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your story. We meet a couple. They have a pet, a rescue dog. Tough decision ahead.
Yes. So this piece is really inspired by my husband and I and our rescue dog who passed away in November. His name was Lionel. He was from Texas, and shortly after getting him, he started having seizures, and it was a really, really tough 2-year journey, which was also the best. Like, he was the best dog ever. But it just really, it was all sort of culminating to the time when this draft was due. He fell really ill, and he ended up passing away. I had written something completely different, and I talked to my director, Michelin Chevrier, who is working with me on another piece at the same time. And I said, look, I think it's too crazy that my theme is care. And I don't think I've ever cared for anything as much as Lionel. And I'm also just not able to remove myself from this emotional state. Can I have a bit more time and write something that represents this, a little bit of this journey that we were on with him? And she very graciously agreed to give me some more time. And that's how this sort of came to be. So the play is really inspired by that and the roller coaster of, navigating a world with a sick dog and the tough decisions that this couple has to make with being without insurance, without pet insurance, which was also our reality. So the financial hardships, the emotional hardships, and just the normalcy of some pretty sad, tragic moments that were ongoing.
I'm sorry to hear about that experience and what Lionel went through.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a time for sure, but you know, it's like, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I know a lot of people say that, but it was a really tough time, only because we spent 2 years trying to, I guess, avoid the inevitable, which is what happened. He succumbed to sort of, you know, he had a very complex neurological condition. And yeah, it's just, I don't know if you've had a dog or any kind of pet, but it's a really interesting, the vet industry is very, very interesting. It's a lot of tests, a lot of investigation, and not necessarily a lot of answers at the end of all of that. So that's also what this play talks a little bit about, is the frustration of just not knowing what you're putting the money towards, your energy towards, and having to go in blind and make decisions for another sentient being that you love very much, that you're not guaranteed to be successful in or at. So, yeah.
And that sentient being is reliant on you for absolutely everything.
Everything.
Suffice to say, my family has been through, has owned two dogs, and the stress is unmanageable when that creature does get sick. And we do live in a world where we have Medicare, sometimes people don't always get the care that they deserve, unfortunately. But there is an expectation that if you're sick, you'll be seen, you'll walk out of the hospital without a giant bill, or you'll be able to get the medication you need, or you have a plan through your partner or at work. But pets, you just mentioned insurance, it's a whole other world where a lot of people who may not have the funds often are, you know, could sink thousands of dollars into a cat and you don't know what's wrong with the cat. It's heartbreaking. It, just based on like the anecdotes I've heard, it's a wild world. Now, I'm curious, Amy, is like this pulled very intensely from your own personal experience. Is that something that you find yourself doing a lot as a writer, or was that new for you to kind of derive inspiration through what you're going through?
I think recently, I have began co-writing with my husband. We've written two projects together, in the process of writing two projects together that are, I would say, very deeply personal. One, I guess on the surface, not so much, which is an adaptation of Titus Andronicus, but that focuses or reframes the story through the lens of Lavinia and Aaron.
Oh, okay.
And that using hip hop and satire and to tell a different story. And Redbone Coonhound is about the intricacies of language, racial microaggressions, and navigating an interracial relationship. So I think absolutely recent, but this is all recent. I feel like when I'm saying how my artistic sensibilities have changed, when I was at NTS, I definitely felt like the further away a story was, it meant the better, I was a better writer to be able to tell that story in a weird way. I was trying to prove, I guess, to myself that if I was writing something that I hadn't personally experienced, that maybe it meant I was able to tap into something and my skills were higher, which is so ridiculous. Of course, it doesn't, it, of course it meant those plays were also personal. You can't escape that. But these ones, I think, are the narrative even around and talking about the plays are very, very personal. This one just happened to be, because of the situation happening at the same time as the draft being due. I didn't intend to write this play, but life happens, and it just seemed too perfect that the subject was care. And so I was able to reframe that. But I think, yeah, more recently, I'm definitely tapping into a much more personal canon of pieces that are, you know, it's scary to share that, but also I just feel like that's where my interests are. But of course, I'm always incorporating humor in anything that I do. I think that is the thread of everything. And I think also, probably because humor is a huge part of my life with my husband, we laugh at absolutely everything. So we try to bring that sensibility into the work. And even in Scout's Honor, there is some humor. I'm hoping people find it funny. Yeah. It's not just sad.
A bit of a black humor, maybe, black comedy.
Yeah.
Dark humor.
Yeah, well, it attempts to normalize, right? What is probably for other people who haven't experienced it quite intense. But when you live with it every day, you have to find that. Otherwise, it just becomes unbearable. So it is, yeah, there, it's like definitely a writing convention, but also true to life.
Speaking with Amy Lee Lavoie, playwright of Scout's Honor, which is going to be part of the Tuning In series this coming weekend. So we've dug into the story and also your return to writing for the year. I do want to touch on that again, because this is incredible. Each piece is 20 minutes long. And on the face of it, it might seem like, well, 20 minutes, I mean, compared to writing like the other projects you just mentioned, they might be running 2 hours long, right? So it must be easier to only write 20 minutes worth of material, right?
It depends.
Oh, not the case.
It depends. I'm somebody who I guess is a little more verbose or a little more messy, and I like to take a longer laneway to explore stories. So when you are working against a tighter timeline, sometimes it can be challenging. It depends on what the story is and what you're setting out to tell, for sure. But radio is interesting in that you don't have a visual crutch everything has to be clear, concise. And again, I don't know that metaphor is a particularly useful tool in terms of communicating what you want to communicate within a play. It's just, I'm always struck by how simplicity reads as super complex when it's just an auditory experience. So it's about being really economical with your language, not necessarily your ideas, but really giving everybody the pertinent info in a way that is digestible. And then working with transitions to sort of amplify an emotional state and bring people into, you know, where you want them to feel into the next scene, if that's how you're writing it. Mine has multiple scenes. But yeah, it's a very different medium entirely. I really enjoy listening to plays. So that was really nice to be able to do something that I like and I enjoy as a listener. But it as somebody who does like long form, it is challenging for sure for me.
Now, that's so interesting that you kind of have to boil down a lot of what you're doing and to take it with so much care. You just mentioned enjoying listening, of course, to plays. These will be performed live through the weekend at 7:30 Eastern time. You're back in Vancouver. So I'm wondering what your plans are to tune in, I guess, around 4:30 your time.
Yeah, I'm going to be listening for sure. I know they're in rehearsal, I think, today, and they have been this past week. And I was able to come into a rehearsal and listen and provide, do some last minute changes and things. And they are working with a Foley artist, which is really exciting. And I believe that Foley artist will be working with them live as well. So yeah, it's going to be fun and I will definitely be listening.
Is it strange to see this brand new work happening on the other side of the country?
It's so strange. It's been so strange writing theater in a time where theater cannot be presented in its natural state and form. And I think Imago is really, really smart to be commissioning and developing and just working with the times in the radio front and however else they're working. You know, we're doing what we have to do, but not compromising the quality and experience that people will receive when buying tickets to these types of things. I think it's really writing for the form and keeping the integrity of that form alive. But yeah, it's really strange. A lot of Zoom rehearsals are really strange. You're just not getting the same experience. There's just so much that you miss being live and in a rehearsal hall. But you know, it's been great. It's all been great.
Amy, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me about Scout's Honor.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. I appreciate it.
That was Amy Lee Lavoie, writer of Scout's Honor. It stars Danny Brochu, Julie Tamiko Manning, and Anne-Marie Saheb. It airs as part of Tuning In, a series broadcasting live this weekend from the Mai. Visit imagotheatre.ca to stream. Each episode airs one after the other, starting at 7:30 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In lieu of tickets, Imago and the Mai are asking that you donate what you decide to the Open Door, a drop-in center that provides services to homeless and low-income Montrealers. We will delve into one more of the stories in a moment. I'm Sarah Day, and you're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, coming to you from my home yet again this week. Still to come, Martin Fauché of the Festival Transamérique gearing up for his final edition at the helm of the multidisciplinary festival, and it could be his most unpredictable ride yet. Now from Amy Lee Lavoie and her story, Scout's Honor, we turn to another production in the Tuning In program for this weekend. Emma Tabaldo is Artistic and Executive Director at Playwrights Workshop Montreal. We recently spoke with her about Behavior, a new play that was read at the Siegel Center 2 weekends ago. Emma was conscripted here to co-direct The Ringtone by Audrey Dwyer. The theme for this story is fear. Audrey's character, Dana, is battling a hangover and waking up on someone else's porch as she tries to figure out how she got there. Emma Tabaldo spoke with me yesterday. Welcome back to Upstage, Emma. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. It's nice to speak with you. So quickly, after our last chat, we last spoke about a wonderful reading over that aired via the Siegel Center 2 weeks ago. Can I ask you about how you felt about that production?
I think everyone involved felt like we had created a piece of art. We were all really proud of the work and extraordinarily happy that that story got to go out into the world. And hopefully we'll be able to restream it. In fact, we will restream it at some point through Playwrights Workshop Montreal. So those who didn't get a chance to see it will if they want to.
Oh, fantastic. So it was already filmed, right? And so it's crazy, like it could be ready to go at any time.
Right. Well, I mean, it filmed because it went through the live stream and then it filmed onto Vimeo. So it is the live stream, which is actually live, that is the recording. So with all its imperfections.
Okay. It's so strange. Like you get so used to watching things and you kind of have to stop and say, is this live or is it recorded? And that show specifically, because there was all this digital work done with your digital dramaturg, Potato Cakes, with different settings and backgrounds, you had to kind of go, am I, like, as an audience member, I was like, is this live? I can't remember, but everyone's popping up in different places. It was fascinating.
Right.
Bringing you back so quickly to talk about a really fantastic series this weekend. Emma, you're co-directing one of the pieces that is part of this series, The Ringtone by Audrey Dwyer. Always really exciting when a company actually commissions new work. So you, as an audience member, you feel like you're getting a crack at something totally original and brand new. There are three themes, one for each of the shows. Denial for Lâche pas la patate, Scout's Honor touches on care. And on the subject of fear, we have The Ringtone, which you have a hand in. Can you walk me through Audrey's story?
So Ringtone, written by Audrey Dwyer, is this awesome little mystery piece where we follow a young Black woman who has to go back in time in order to piece together what happened to her the night before, which has led her to find herself on lying in grass at 5 a.m. in the morning with blood on her face. And with the help of Lucy, our protagonist Dana has to go through the last 24 hours. And through the play, we learn about the micro and microaggressions that a young woman working in a fancy grocery store has to endure day in and day out. So it's really looking at the Black experience in Canada and looking at the middle class and upper middle class and the casualness of racism and how it affects the people that it's being pointed to. It's quite a great look at every day and elevates it to the place where you have to, where you get to think about things that perhaps you didn't take the time to think about. So it's a fascinating piece with incredible actors that bring it all to life with a sense of urgency and mystery. So I think it'll be a fun piece for people to listen to, because obviously the only way you can experience the pieces through sound. It's a beautiful experiment on how to bring actor voices and sound together, which, you know, has been done forever by the CBC, but again, for theater artists, is a new medium. So we're all experimenting together with the guidance of, you know, folks who really know what they're doing, like Kathleen Flaherty, who was a dramaturg who worked for the CBC for many, many years in radio drama. And and the actors we're working with are actors who do a lot of voice work and therefore bring the story to life very quickly and beautifully. So yeah, it's been an interesting look at really important issues in society done through a medium that we don't often get to experiment with in theater in a way that I think is awesome.
The casting is really strong for all three pieces. Jimmy Play and Heather White with La Chapelle Perdette, and Scouts Honor has Danny Brochu, Julie Tamiko Manning, and Marisa Hebb. The Ringtone, the piece that you and I are talking about that you worked on, Lucinda Davis, Warona Setsuelo, and Brian Dooley. These are like very recognizable names from Montreal audiences.
Indeed. And yes, you can hear it. I mean, when you hear the piece, you'll hear their voices, you'll recognize them, and they do really beautiful work in what was essentially for the playwright and for myself and for the other director, Lydie Dubuisson, our first experience in this. And so they really helped us through the experience because they know what they're doing. And then Evan Stepanian, who does the sound design and the Foley, the live Foley, is the other character in the piece. And he's done an amazing job of bringing the piece to life through our ears.
Now, this must have been such a fun challenge for you. You kind of talked about how it's a learning experience. Is it a steep learning curve to go from working for the stage where you've got visual and audio at play and now hear just audio?
Well, it's interesting in that you see everything through your ears. So then it's just a different way of experiencing what you would normally do on stage to get an effect. You have to do differently. Audially, is that even a word? But, so, you know, if you're yelling at someone, you can't turn around and yell away from the mic. So you have to, you know, learn how to yell into the mic, but for it not to take over and bust your eardrum. So there are a lot of different techniques and different things that you don't think about normally that suddenly become evident, and you just spend a lot of time listening really hard. And it's kind of fun because when you start to imagine the world, it means that the sound is actually doing what you want it to do. Like when the world starts to become real for you visually, with your eyes closed, then, and you know what's going on and you know where they're moving from one room to another, or they're moving from one day to another, or like all those things that you would experience visually on a theater stage are suddenly in your imagination, and it's a beautiful thing.
Is it a challenge for you as a director in terms of how you communicate with your cast, of what you're kind of expecting them to do, or how you're walking them through a scene?
I mean, I'd have to do this a couple more times to get a feeling around that. They did bring, you know, an extraordinary amount of expertise. So I don't know if I were working, you know, if we were working with actors who don't have that expertise, what more would have been demanded of us as directors. But mostly I did a lot of listening and worked with the sound designer. So that was a big part of the work that I was really doing.
The other thing too that is kind of fun is that these are 20-minute plays. Mm-hmm. Whereas I guess normally you could correct me, but I assume you're usually working with anywhere from 60 minutes to 120 minutes, right?
Right. And I mean, you know, you're not blocking. So it's not about, there's a lot of the work that you would do on stage is no longer necessary. So you're looking at character intention and how it comes through the voice, which again, I would love to have a lot more experience doing because it's really great. And the subtle changes in a person's voice are really noticeable when you're doing radio drama. So it's fascinating. And you know, the rehearsal time for this was much, much shorter than for a show.
How much time did you take to put this together then for rehearsals?
If I remember correctly, I think it was a total of 20 hours, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe more, 20 or 24 hours. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I think for someone who may not be familiar with rehearsal process, it seems like a long time, but it's spread out over several days. So it doesn't necessarily amount to a lot of actual rehearsal time, but when it's actually condensed down into a 20-minute show, it's an appropriate length of time.
Yeah, it felt an enough period of time to be able to get a really good handle on the story and be able to really work in the sound properly so that they melded together and became one. Hopefully you'll listen and you'll judge for yourself, but you know, there are three really fantastic 20 minute pieces. So you just get to, you know, you get to sit there and interact with your eyes closed. What more can you ask for?
So well put. Emma, I can't wait to be listening to it myself. Are you going to be tuning in Friday, Saturday, or Sunday?
I think we're all going to be there in the space. So we'll be listening to each other's pieces from another room and through headphones. So everyone will be there listening as everyone else is listening at home.
Is this a headphone experience? Do I have to have?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Have headphones. Like, it is the best way to listen to the piece. Absolutely.
And you just brought me back. This is something I did want to ask you about. This will be broadcast live, right? The performance will
That's
be
right.
based. Okay. And are we hearing each show each night or?
Yeah. So all three of them will play. So every night, one after the other, they'll all have their little introductions, but they'll all follow. So it's one show of three 20 minute pieces. And that'll be true of each night. And each night, everyone is there live doing the show live. So whatever you hear the first night may not be the same thing you hear the second night, may not be the same thing you hear the third night. Yeah. And every mistake you will hear, and every victory you will hear. Yeah. So it's live.
Now, this is such an unusual setup because it's three different stories, three different casts, three different teams. There's one overarching team, but to have everybody coming in and respecting distancing and all that stuff, like, but also you don't worry about the visuals. It's really about nailing the sound. And the fact that it's happening all live, it's actually super ambitious when I think about it, even though each piece is just 20 minutes.
Yeah. And I mean, I wish you could, and maybe they'll take a photograph and put it on the website, but just looking at the room is so fantastic because they've set up all these little booths, these plexiglass booths. So each actor has their own booth and they can't cross-contaminate in any way. And everyone has their own mic, everyone has their own stool, everyone has their own chair, everyone has their own music stand, and they're surrounded with plexiglass. So there are all these little beautiful booths, and then they've actually lit them all from the top, so they all look kind of ghostly. And then the Foley person, Evan, is sitting behind a desk with this plexiglass as well, and kind of making these, you know, like live sounds. It's all live, like, but some of it is pre-recorded sound, but he's mixing in live, and then doing Foley you know, with his body and playing musical instruments. So all of that is live as well. Yeah, so it's a really eerie, kind of cool space to be in. It's very
I absolutely love
weird.
That. And please remind whoever it is whose job it is to take that photo to post it on social media.
Because
I'd love to see that. And I can't wait to tune in live myself. It's quite not unusual, but super interesting setup. So is this in the gallery or the theater space at the Mai?
It's in the actual theater space. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Emma, cool. Break a leg this weekend with
these. Yeah, thank you.
Pieces. Thank you so much for taking the time.
My pleasure. Please do tune in. They're fantastic and you won't regret it.
That was Emma Tibaldo. She co-directed The Ringtone by Audrey Dwyer. The cast is Lucinda Davis, Brian Dooley, and Rorona Setsuelo. Emma is also artistic and executive director at Playwrights Workshop Montreal. The Ringtone airs this weekend as part of Tuning In, a production at Imago Theatre. Three short plays, each just 20 minutes, and they'll be performed live from the Mai at 7:30, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In lieu of tickets, Imago and the Mai ask that you donate what you decide to the Open Door, a drop-in center that provides services to homeless and low-income Montrealers. Visit imagotheatre.ca to stream the show or set a reminder for the date that you would like to tune in for. And don't forget your headphones. I'm Sarah Day. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, coming to you from my home yet again this week. The Festival Transamérique is a highlight of every spring. Eclectic, multidisciplinary performances, artists flying in from all over the world. But everything came to a dizzying halt last March, just weeks away from the launch. Live shows were scrapped, plane tickets canceled, and a host of online content, including a podcast series, was whipped up for fans. But organizers are determined to go ahead with 2021. Last week, they unveiled plans to present 5 virtual performances and 2 in-person shows. Dance, caricatures, history, more programming announcements are still to come. But this is a tantalizing teaser. For artistic director Martin Fauchet, it's also bittersweet. This will be his final year at the helm of the festival. It's the 15th edition. Martin spoke with me earlier this week. Welcome to Upstage, Martin. It's lovely to speak with you again.
It's a pleasure for me. Hello.
Congratulations on releasing the teaser for your final time, a final kick at the can as director of the FTA. You must be experiencing so many emotions right now.
Yeah, since 1 year, it's like Russian mountains. So with highs and downs. And last week, we unveiled 7 shows. So we were all proud of it because it's so much work. And all that we want is to meet people, to meet audience. So yeah, it was a very nice moment.
For you, though, knowing that this is, I guess, your last, this will be your last run-up to your final festival, is there a lot of emotions for you? Are you kind of pushing that aside?
For sure, yeah, it's a lot. But I was very sad in last October and November, because at that moment, I realized that it won't happen as I wished. But since I worked and I set up totally differently my mind, and I told to myself, okay, I have to do something new, something unexpected, and I have to make something artistic. So now I'm in a good mood. I'm sometimes optimistic, sometimes pessimistic, but we'll present events in May and June. So that's fine.
I like that. You can't really change the circumstances, but you can change your attitude. It's a great philosophy.
Yeah, this festival has to do with the present moment, how to be right in the present moment. So that's how I work now with artists, with all the team here, and we'll work like that with audience in May and June. So how to enjoy or to live in the exact way, the present moment.
So you have 7 shows coming up for May and June. 6 of them are world premieres, never been seen before. Yeah. 2 will be in person, 5 virtually. Can we run through them? What, like, to give a taste? Where would you like to start?
Perhaps with Mélanie Demers. Mélanie Demers last year was supposed to present a show, Post Coitum, mm-hmm. and of course it wasn't. And in last August, with the team, she decided to interrupt the show, to kill it. And she asked me if she can do a new one. So it's a show, the title of the show is The Goddamn Voie Lactée, Milky Way, The Goddamn Milky Way. And it's about interruption, it's about something unfinished, and it's about what is going on now with the pandemic. So it's totally accurate of the present moment. So it's dance. 4 women, 4 dancers are on stage and 1 senior musician, and all of them are making music. So yeah, so Mélanie Demers, it's a world premiere and I'm very proud of it, yeah.
That one sounds thrilling. And also Tufik is back. He's a performance artist or a multidisciplinary artist who's been at the FTA before. This guy is, as we might say, hams it up. He's very funny.
Yeah, Tufik. Yeah, he's a performer and he puts himself in all his work. So he travestites himself, he se déguise lui-même. it changes him itself. So it's about identity. It's about perception of identity. And in the show that we'll present at the festival, La Romance est pas morte, Tufik, Romance is not dead, Tufik, he creates a dating site, a live dating site that we can visit. And he created 100 profiles, 100 different profiles. And all of them is himself on that profile, but he personifies something else. And we can date those people. So you can do the show online. You can visit the dating site. And so it's 8 days in a row at the Cinquième Salle de la Place des Arts, and 8 hours a day. So it's like an event, a marathon. We can spend 1.5 hours in the venue, and after that we have to go out and we let enter new audience. But it's a kind of interactive performance. And yeah, I don't know what will happen, because he will really meet people. He will really date people with all those codes. So it's how you meet people in those pandemic times, and who do you choose on that 100 different profiles? So it's about perception, it's about préjugé. So yeah, it's a very nice experience.
He's really a workhorse, because he does a lot of events in person. I remember one year he was working on a work at the Calti de Spectacle outdoors, and people could watch him create. And here he's going to be like on stage or live for about 7 hours a day. It's like a real marathon, as you say. Something else that caught my eye is Bautrail Chouchage from Haitian choreographer Rodney Désir.
Yeah. So Bautrail Chouchage, it's Montreal. So the big project of Rodney Désir is to visit several cities in America where there's a slave history, but she hadn't made it yet in Montreal. So I propose her to visit Montreal, her home city, to discover the slavery history of this city, because there's one. So it will be on two different sites, outdoor sites, and she will, with musicians, she will, in short shows, they're around 15 minutes each, 15, 20 minutes each. She will perform the way she is now in this city. And since 1 year, there was so many bad history about George Floyd and all those sad racist stories. So Rodney is very brave from her to put herself in the city to visit the les lieux honteux. I don't know how the shame places about slavery. So Bau Chouchage.
Not a lot of people know about this history, so it'll be a real eye opener. Something else that is going to kind of have its roots in history is Meshtitao, Inuit artist named Soleil Lonnière.
Yeah. So Soleil is an artist from First Nation, from Autochtony. She's Innu. And because I invited two artists from First Nation people to create something about nature in Montreal, because I'm very aware of there's a lack of nature. And of course, we stole nature to first people here in Montreal. Mm-hmm. So in the garden of the Musée d'Art Contemporain, where there's almost no nature at all, Soleil will create Meshtitao. So là où tout a été détruit. So where everything is destroyed. So she will speak about trees, the way that we cut trees, and she makes a parallel between trees and elders. And in the last year, with the pandemic, we discovered so horrible stories about all those elders in CHSLD and in Maison de Retraite. So it will be nice to speak about nature and to speak about old people like trees. So it's very thrill to, yeah, it's very thrill creation.
Someone else, I think the other artist you're mentioning is Lara Kramer, yeah. Who is of Oji-Cree and Mennonite heritage. This is the space that's also going to be in, like, this is going to be happening also in the garden space?
Yes. Okay. So it's two different shows. So there's one made by Lara Kramer and the other one by Soleil. So with Lara, she will create something that is called Them Voices. And it's about future. She will create a vertical sculpture and she will habit that sculpture. She will be in that sculpture.
Oh, wow.
And it will be about space and time, about the sun, when the sun is going down. So, and she will project herself in the future. In past creations that she made, she talked about the past and the way that would destroy her family. And now she wants to project herself in the future. So it will be more, I don't think exactly what it will be, but I guess that it will be optimistic.
I'm speaking with Martin Fauché, who is artistic director at the Festival Transamérique. We are looking ahead, sneak peek to the early days of the festival, still more programming to be announced later in April. Martin, it's funny that we talk about these two shows happening in the garden. I walked past it just a couple of days ago and it's fenced off so you can access it from the museum. I was just thinking, who uses this green space here out on the Esplanade of Place des Arts? This would be a good space to make some art. Yes. The last two shows involve Marie Brassard, a theater artist here in Montreal. One is, I guess, a solo show she's doing. It's actually inspired by Japan.
Yeah. Actually, it was supposed to be a show with Japanese performers and Marie Brassard.
Ah.
So with the pandemic, because she was supposed to go to Japan to make some residencies, but of course now it's impossible. So she will be on stage with Alexander McSween, a musician, and those Japanese performers will be on screen, on film, or in a numeric way. So it will be a mix of real images or fantastic images. Because Marie Brassard works with Sabrina Raté, who is a very nice numeric digital artist. So it's a kind, it's in the tradition of Marie Brassard, a technology storytelling way of being on stage with a way to transform the voice and between spoken words, between songs, between anthem. So it's very hypnotic the way she works, and she's fascinated by Japanese culture. So it's a mix of very Western culture, and the more she goes on the show, the more she be in the Orientalist spirit. So she's a huge artist. I love Marie Brassard. She has her own universe, and the show is called Violence. It's about personal violence. And I think that now we are facing a lot of, every day, a lot of violence. So it will be the world premiere. So it's, it's a big show at the Théâtre Jean Duceppe. And yeah, I'm very proud to present Marie.
And the other big one with Quebec Star is Louise Le Cavalier Stations. This is a solo dance piece.
Yes, it's a solo dance piece by Louise Le Cavalier. Louise, she's a huge artist. She danced for so many years, for 30 years, with several choreographer, and of course with Edouard Locke. But now more than 10 years, she has her own work and stations. It's four small moments, not small, but small, four moments in her life. And it's very, we can see, I saw the show last year in Germany. It was one of the last one that I saw abroad. And it was almost the world premiere of Louise. And I was fascinated because, of course, Louise is still very dynamic and very energetic. And at the same time, she see us, she show us all the vulnerability, all the fragility of herself.
So Martin, as we speak, the Minister for Health just confirmed we're in a third wave in Quebec. Now, this is a nervous time, I think, for artists and arts and directors. You know, do you feel prepared for anything? We're coming out of we're deconfining the province, but at the same time, there's cases going up and concerns over variants. But do you feel like you have a strong platform to present, if need be, a virtual festival and, if we can, a live festival?
Yes. In any case, we can show five shows online, two dance shows and three public readings that will be specially released for the stream. So we can offer to audience, to festival people, we can offer a digital program. And we have a lot of events at the Terrain de Jeu battlegrounds that will be also on live, conversations between artists and philosophers and people like that. So if something bad is happening at the end of May, beginning of June, we can offer something to audience. But I'm confident because theaters, venues are, they're safe. It's last September, I was myself on stage at the Théâtre La Chapelle, and it's so well done, and it's very clear how you enter in the venue and how you exit. So it's safe places. So I don't know what will happen. We don't know what will happen, but I hope that audience will be there because it's so important to be all together.
I think that's well said, Martin. You kind of have to be ready for anything. It's a very remarkable time to be running an arts festival.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me on Upstage. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, and I wish you the best for springtime and summertime and for life.
That was Martin Fauché, Artistic Director of the Festival Transamérique. It will run May 26th to June 12th. 16 more productions are to be announced in the weeks to come. For more information about the 2021 edition, please visit fta.ca. You have been listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. Tonight, you heard writer Amy Lee Lavoie and director of Emma Tibaldo, both taking part in Tuning In, presented by Imago Theatre and The Mai this weekend, Friday through Sunday at 7:30, imagotheatre.ca. And as well, Martin Fauché, artistic director of the Festival Transamérique, coming to you this May. A very big thank you to my guests. You can hear past episodes of Upstage at ckut.ca under the archives. Thank you to Mariam at CKUT for making sure this show gets to air, and thank you for tuning in. And a special thanks to Tamara, the spoken word coordinator at CKUT, who has been so terrific and so supportive. She is the one who gets this file for this show, sometimes a little late, sometimes a lot late, and she sets it up and makes sure that you can hear it from home. She's moving on to new adventures. Break a leg, Tamara. I miss you already. I'm your host, Sarah Day. Speak with you next time on Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and CKUT.ca. Happy Easter, happy Passover. Until next time, stay home and stay safe.
Hello, dear listeners. As of March 16th, CKUT Studios will be closed until further notice. The programming on our airwaves will consist of a mixture of recent CKUT archives, new pre-recorded segments, and other relevant special programming. Our upcoming funding drive will be postponed until further notice. Thank you for understanding that we are taking these measures to protect the health of our staff and community members. Love, CKUT.